Now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
I don't think anything thrust its hand in the air in the Underwood yesterday for the Cox Plate. I think there might be a wild card now because I'm not sure any of those horses can win the Cox Plate.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
Yes, it is that time of the day where RSN's racing editor, Matty Stewart, joins us in the studio. Gee whiz, Matty, we've got plenty of news to get through, and I've never seen you as bullish since you have declared that Mwoonga can't miss a place in the Cox Plate when you bounded into the office this morning and said, I've backed the Derby winner. I've seen the Derby winner. Were you watching yesterday's meeting? And I said, yeah, I was watching it. And you said, I've unloaded at $26.
Geez, you're putting the moz on it now.
Well, for those who didn't see, this is what occurred at Mildura yesterday with Distrustful Award.
Castagna battles on and then down the barrel, but out beyond the crown of the track, Distrustful Award. He's a length in front, trying hard, Castagna, and also Belzino, Scott's son, late. Distrustful Award knows nothing about it, but he's going to win untouched by four lengths, make it three on the line. Second, Belzino, I think.
It was a very soft win, but it was a maiden at Mildura. You're not on your Pat Malone, though, because he was about $26 yesterday prior to that win. What price is he now?
He's into $15, and I don't necessarily think he's another surprise baby for Paul Prusker, but I'm looking at the landscape of the Derby this year. It's going to be a weak Derby. There's nothing that looks like it's going to really stick on with a turn of foot. And then you default to horses like this who are rapidly improving. And I thought the $26 was worth a crack. And certainly I was glad I tapped refresh and it was into $15.
Well, I wonder whether Paul Prusker's comforted by the fact that you're declaring his horse to win
the Victoria Derby. I'm not declaring it. I'm just saying it was worth a speck.
A little bit unnerved. It's good to have a chat to Paul Prusker, who joins us today. Morning, Paul. You would have been happy with that. You would have expected him to win like that if you're wanting to head to the Derby, but he got the job done.
Yeah, for sure. Good to see him get the job done, and still a bit of a raw horse, and he'll gain a bit of momentum again, you know.
It's all about what's under the bonnet, isn't it? And I know you do enough research to get a handle on these staying horses. What's, and this is with Surprise Baby in the back of our minds about what he showed you as well. What sort of data, what sort of confidence have you got through what you know about Distrustful Award?
Yeah, look, this fellow is more of he's a proper staying horse, big engine on him. Yeah, lots of like about him, you know. He hasn't got that whiz-bang turn of foot, but in saying that, he's a horse that could clip out the early sectionals and still be tough right through the line, you know. So two different horses. I think this fellow is a proper staying horse, and Surprise Baby, I know he won an Adelaide Cup and ran into Melbourne Cups, but was he a proper staying horse? Question there, I suppose, but this fella's capable of rolling along at a good clip and keep going.
It's about what you're against, not as much as anything else, isn't it? And it's one of those springs where we've got not a vintage Caulfield Guineas, and then you look beyond that to the staying stocks. It's pretty lean, isn't it? And then now you've got one who's improving in leaps and bounds. It's a nice position to be in.
Yeah, for sure. You know, these horses, he's not going to peak too early. He'll be nice and strong. You know, I know it was at Mildura and they ran quite a few lengths slower than the other division. But for me, you know, he's a horse that's he's only been on the big tracks. So, you know, like he had to get around Mildura, which wasn't an easy task, and it was a tricky ride for Dean. But just a little bit of talent got him through it, you know.
What do you do now? Do you tick over? And I know this is your style, to tick over and then launch into the grand final. I suppose you've got to make the Derby fit. I don't know whether there's any question mark there. What's your strategy from here on in?
Yeah, look, at you know, I I'd love a hurdle trial to be coming up and then go into it. But we're probably still a little bit green, so maybe we have a look at the Norman Robinson, or there's sort of three options there. I've got, he's recovered super, so you know, there's plenty of horse there to have another run, you know.
And that was his first time on a good track. So do you think he's better on top of the ground?
Oh, I don't think so. I think he's a good wet tracker. I'd be quietly a little bit more confident on a bit of wetter going, you know. Mm. Maybe it's a year at dishes up a heavy track.
He's owned by Buckley. He's a Seamus Award. What's the story with how he came about?
Yeah, look, Sean had identified him earlier as one he wanted to turn into a staying horse, so he sent him over to me. We didn't sort of tap into him really till this prep. He's had two nice preps before that, just toughen him up, a lot of deep sand work, and just condition him to be it, you know. So, horse has done a great job, and he's on fresh legs.
Well, you got to carry me and Dean Yendall. I hope that's not too much of a burden, but let's cross our fingers for the next two or three weeks.
Let's hope, man.
Good on you.
Good on you, Paul. Matt's retirement's banking on it. If you have a look at that form line, he did chase home Mr. Maestro. He got beaten, what was it, almost seven lengths two starts ago. Mr. Maestro came out and franked that form in the superimposed, so he is a raw developing horse, but he's going to need to improve to catch Mr. Maestro as well.
Yep. It's all about trajectory, though, isn't it? And this horse is on a big curve, and I don't know if too many of his Derby rivals are, so I'm pretty happy. And I think that chat with Paul, anyone who missed the $26 and thinks the $15 is still there, they probably might have a nibble at that as well.
Well, speaking of the Derby, obviously Berkeley Square was spoken about and has been spoken about for a long time as heading towards a Derby from the Guineas. But speaking to Dan O'Sullivan this morning, there could be a little curveball thrown in, because if this horse has the speed to win a Caulfield Guineas, where he sounds confident the way he's improved, he's drawn a perfect gate, he'll sit midfield or closer than midfield on Saturday. If he wins the Guineas, why wouldn't you pay a $200,000 late entry and have a crack at a Caulfield, at a Cox Plate?
Yeah, I like how he put it back on the owners. Yeah, look, it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, if he comes out and wins the Caulfield Guineas well, then the Cox Plate's on the plate. So it's not necessarily locked in, but it's going to be an option. And it may need that element this year. Although, having said that, and I know you and I are going to probably explore it further tomorrow, the Animo situation's an interesting one. I'm going to do a piece on it today about it. It's all about Animo now. You know, if Animo is a dash of Lonro, if he's the horse that Godolphin thinks, and if there is no lingering impact effect of the post-race from the George Main, he really should come out and win well, and he should be the champion of the day going into the Cox Plate. That's the position he's in, if he's everything we think he is. So, and then that might present a hurdle to the likes of Dan O'Sullivan with even an impressive Guineas winner like Berkeley Square. If Animo, say Nelly, I nearly called him Lonro. If he comes out and wins the Might and Power really impressively, then that may be a deterrent to someone like Dan O'Sullivan.
Well, Bruce McAvaney's of the same opinion.
He compared him to So You Think.
Was it So You Think?
Yeah, it was
not
So
Lonro.
You Think.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
But that's a good, lofty level to put him in, and McAvaney's got a good handle.
Well, Ben Mason, the veterinarian, is going to be joining me in the studio at 10:30, and of course he's Godolphin's head vet, so it will be good to have a chat to him about what the little issue was with Animo up in Sydney, and of course the aft cabin situation that occurred last week as well, and basic niggles for horses during the spring calendar, because this is the time where we do see the attrition rate and a few horses unfortunately going by the wayside because of different things. But I think Ben might have a different opinion, especially with the situation of aft cabin, of what maybe in the future the protocols should be. So it'll be fascinating
to
have a listen to that at 10:30. Just on the Caulfield Guineas barrier draw yesterday, obviously Golden Mile, Berkeley Square, big winners. Blake Shin really happy to draw gate one with Elliptical, who can sit a lot closer. There were a couple of losers, though, as you do see in big fields for the Caulfield
Guineas.
Yeah,
just the main snapshot. Tijuana, Barrier 10, I think is not a bad gate, but drifted 8s to 10s. Berkeley Square, just a little firm on the tab on the fixed odds, 6 into 550 after drawing probably perfectly in Barrier 7. If O'Sullivan could have cherry-picked, he probably would have picked that. Golden Mile, who still has to run a Golden Mile, is $3.50 into $3 from Barrier 5. I think that barrier was the clincher. If there's any doubt on him running the distance, then at least he box seats from there. I've been speaking to one of the part owners of one of the in the fetal position part owners of Bank Moore about the just what a disaster Bankmore drawing barrier 17 is. It'll come into 15 with scratchings, but 15's out to $18, and they're going to have a really big think about the tactics that they employ. Vegeta-san out the gate, 21 to 31, barrier 18. Meridius, yeah, 7.
Tricky draw again.
But it's been the one that's best backed at odds, too, interestingly, after a good gallop at Caulfield yesterday. 17 into 13.
He's drawn 16, so they're going to need luck there as well. The other one that drew a little wide, I don't think Amenable's that bad, gate 14.
No, exactly. And then there'll be scratchings, so it'll come in one or two. Nines out to 11s. And Elliptical, barrier 1, 13s into $11, Herd Blake Shin. It may play its way. It's just got to be able to use it. But the barrier draw has been fascinating. And I think history will tell you that the ones that peel out, get back and try and run on or ride for luck are really hamstrung by wide gates. So Bankmore, Vegeta-san really have got the wrong end of the barrier draw.
How many have you got the guineas down to now?
I think it may be Berkeley Square's race to lose.
Hang on, you were saying you can't get around Caulfield.
No, well, now that I'm the field's in front of us and he's drawn the gate and we're looking at the opposition, he might win anyway.
Yeah, I've got it down to 3, maybe 4 at a stretch. Golden Mile, Berkeley Square, Amenable, and Tijuana.
Gee, Mark Hunter gave a massive rap to you about Elliptical, yeah. And he's not a part-owning spruiker either.
He says he thinks it's better than Super Seth.
Yep.
So make it 5 now.
There you go. Well, Super Seth knocked off Alligator Blood. If Alligator Blood was in this, he'd win it by 8 lengths. So,
The Guineas it's Guineas Day. But the highlight of Saturday may well be the Might and Power, because it is the dress rehearsal for the Cox Plate on Saturday. Final fields will come out in around about half an hour. We'll bring you those final fields. It'll be a small and select field once again. So it could become a bit of a tactical race, and it'll be fascinating to see over the 2,000 metres how strong Thunderstruck is. They want to sit closer, and Alligator Blood, whether he does really punch through the line like he did in the Underwood.
It's going to be interesting with I'm Thunderstruck, whether he adapts to being ridden closer. He may be a horse who just says, I don't want to be ridden closer. So that'll be fascinating. I think the biggest spring story, it's not horse-related. I think Annabelle Neesham with probably 4, roughly potentially 5 runners in the Cox Plate. She's got Moanga, Zaki running around in the Might and Power. She's got...
Top ranked
on the cusp. She's got
My Oberon
out at Werribee, and she's got Fields of Indices.
Laws
of Indices. If it wins the Toorak, it'll possibly get elevated in the Cox Plate.
If it wins the Toorak, the Moonee Valley Racing Club have just got to let it run. To have one trainer have 5 horses in a Cox Plate. There's probably a little question mark over My Oberon, but they'll want to have international form horses in there. Obviously, it's not officially an international. Neither is the Waller horse, who's El Bodegon. But for the depth of form and the build-up and the talk, you'll probably want to have another international form-based horse in there.
Will it go in her favour to try and get 5 in, or will they go, hang on a minute, you're not getting 5 in, let's have a... So,
But it'd be the history-making moment.
Well, it'll be history-making if she gets 4.
Trainers ever had 4?
About 7 or 8 trainers throughout history. Danny Power kindly gave me all this information yesterday. I'll go to the text, because it's a really... This is the biggest story of the spring by 1 million miles. It's just jumped out at us now, is this amazing story of Annabelle Neesham. Just to recap, in 2018, she came to notice for winning the Mongol Derby with Adrian Corboy. No one had really heard of her before
then. Well, she was Kieran Maher's right-hand person.
She was Kieran Maher's Sydney foreperson, who was fairly anonymous at the time. And then a couple of years before that, she was living in a share house in London with a bit of a musical talent and no idea what she was going to do with her life. And now, 4 years later, these are the trainers that have had 3. Frank Marsden, 1922. Dan Lewis, 1949. Tommy Smith, 1968. Bart Cummings, 1977. Colin Hayes had 3 runners in 83 and 89. Freedy had 3 in 92, that famous year. Naturalism, Mannerism, and Super. Gay Waterhouse in 2012. Robert Hickmott, 2013. And Waller in 14 and 15 had 3 runners. Neesham will almost guaranteed have 4, possibly have 5, dead set moral 3, and 3 of them are in the top 6 in the market.
Mm.
I can't think of a more extraordinary trajectory covering racing than that story. Don't say dead set moral,
though. Remember what happened on Cox Plate Morning
last year. Fingers crossed. Well, she can afford to lose one
Don't say that.
As long as Mwanga fills a hole.
Yesterday, we also had third acceptances closed for the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup. So the Caulfield Cup, was it down to 32, I think? And for those that have had a little early wager on Maximal at big odds, the good news is that it is well and truly into the field at 16 in order of entry. Sound 17, Great House 18. And then you're out to where the cutoff is. Charlie Rose, Grand Promenade, Chapada, and a few others further down. Of course, whoever wins the Herbert Power on Saturday will be able to get free entry in there. So that Caulfield Cup field will be taking pretty much final shape after Saturday. But if you're on Maximal at the big odds, you look safe there in the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup as well.
Great House could draw a barrier and it'll nearly win.
Well, the order of entry now on the cusp around the Melbourne Cup. Crystal Pegasus is 25, Midnight Blue 26. Smoke and Romans is actually 27 in order of entry. That may well change after the Caulfield Cup. Natural Attrition, you would expect they would be okay as well. And Vow and Declare needs to run top 8, I believe it is, in the Caulfield Cup to qualify for the Melbourne Cup. And Inspirational Girl also, I think, needs to run top 3, but I'll clarify that to be able to qualify for the Melbourne Cup on Saturday.
Fascinating little benchmark 64 at sale today. Those who have been awaiting the return of Invincible Caviar, this is the one that can gallop out of Black Caviar. It's $2.70 fixed odds favourite. Interesting that, because that suggests that there's a bit in this race. And the $6 third favourite, Queen of the Green, trained by Mick Price and Mick Kent, who won so impressively at Geelong, is out of Curata Queen. And you might remember Black Caviar flogged Curata Queen in the William Reid one day. So daughters of both shaping up today. Good test for Invincible Caviar. She can knock off this field impressively, then she can come to Cup Week and find a good race as a daughter of Black Caviar. But it's a bit of a race, and these Black Caviar foals have a knack of getting rolled, so yeah, we'll see what happens.
Looking forward to that. Hey, there is rain on the way, both Melbourne and Sydney, but you've spoken to the team out at Caulfield, and they're pretty upbeat about what the track will be.
Worst case scenario, soft six. Best case, if the rain doesn't quite come, will be a bit better than that. At the moment, it's a good three, so they've got a solid base to work off. Sydney, as you know, is the weather's a bit volatile up there, and it's shaping as another wet track.
It looks horrendous. Every single day, they're 15 to 20 mils.
Michael Wood, the track manager, just this is his text. Rain forecast today, hopefully ending Thursday midday. Shower possible Friday night. Hopefully main portion of rain falls after racing on Saturday into Sunday morning. Soft 7 at this stage, following 8.9 mils overnight. The big threat at the moment is the country tracks here, where we've got the Monangatang Cup and the Hamilton Cup's on Saturday. At the moment, they're good to go, but they don't need much to go wrong with the weather to be under threat. And these are the big cup meetings. And CRV telling me this morning that there's a bit of concern even for the beginning of the picnics in a couple of weeks' time, Cox Plate Day. So a big weather watch in Victoria with so many meetings lost and no break in the weather. And we do have two really significant Bush Cups on Saturday, so fingers crossed for Monangatang and Hamilton, and we'll give a little update tomorrow on how the weather's progressing for those meetings.
Absolutely. Just a little plug too, Racing Victoria has renewed its partnership with Equestrian Victoria, which is great because that partnership does so much for the off-the-track horses and all of those programs. And there's a big event today down at Werribee Mansion because they will be announcing the Victorian Racehorse Retrainer of the Year. So good luck to the finalists there. We'll have the result of that on tomorrow's program. A couple of quick SMSs. Do you guys know why El Bogodon isn't going to the Caulfield Cup? UK trainers seem to think it would be better. Well, I think they've always spoken about the Cox Plate. I believe Bankmore will manage the gate. Rangy horse needs galloping room. Might just need an extra furlong, unfortunately. Bit rich from you, Blue Eyes, telling others not to say moral. How's aft cabin going? Don't remind me. Thank you very much for that. Matt Stewart. Annabelle was working in Melbourne for Kieran when she did the Mongolian Derby. Kieran then sent her up to set up the stable.
Well, thanks for clarifying that minor point, listener.
What about Tatura and Monangatang? That's from Juppie. So, yeah, Matty's across that as well.